Well, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is April 21st, and we are very happy that you are joining us today for our second day of our parenting article, How to Raise an Adult. We certainly had a lively discussion yesterday regarding this topic. We are actually discussing an interview with an author of a book, and the book's title is How to Raise an Adult. And the author is Julie Lithcott-Hames, and she was the first dean of freshmen at Stanford University for 10 years. And she used her relationship with those students and what she observed there, and then what she realized that she was doing herself as a parent, to come up with a book about how to break free of the over-parenting your children. And I have two parents with me today that are going to join me in this discussion.
Hi, glad to be back, Linda. It's Lois here.
And I'm Campbell.
And I'm Linda, and we're very happy that you all chose to join us today. And what's one thing that stood out to you yesterday, Campbell? Let's just do a quick review of yesterday.
Well, I think it was really interesting to understand where she came up with the concept for this book, and the idea was that she saw a lot of moms and dads hovering via smartphone over their kids, and the kids happily going along with it.
Yeah, I think I appreciated that she wants us, or those who are still raising their children, to not just have a kid that's book smart. She wants the kid to be life smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for us to remember, because so much when I was raising my children was really on, you know, the academics, and you just have to have your child have this grade and do this well. And maybe because that was so focused, maybe a lot of parents in my era didn't focus enough on, you really need these life skills because it will make your life run smoother and actually make your whole life easier.
I think the most shocking thing that I came to realize yesterday about what she said in her article is that these kids at her school, well, this is at Stanford, were texting with their parents multiple times a day. You know, so it seems what she ascertained from that is that they were clueless about how to make decisions outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, you know, that's really a shame.
Yeah, I really like the description here, existentially impotent.
I know, I like that too. Do you want to, again, explain what that means?
Well, existentially just means having to deal with life, and impotent just means you have no power. So they really didn't have any power to deal with life.
That's right. Yeah, do you want your 60-year-old living with you when you're 85? Okay, well, we have a lot to talk about today. We are on page 35 of your advanced magazine, so if you have it, you might want to turn to that and to that page and read along with us. And if you have your mobile device there with you, you can find it there and listen with us. We're going to read the first half of the left-hand column on page 35.
How much does technology drive this?
Technology isn't driving this. It's exacerbating the tendency between parent and child to be in constant touch. One of the most harmful elements of having the entire internet in our pockets is that parents track kids' every movement.
A depression and a world war made boys in the last century into men. How do we instill responsibility without disaster?
Parents are often so concerned about academic performance that we absolve kids of things like doing dishes. They end up not knowing how to take responsibility. This undercuts their ability to be the kind of workers a boss wants. Somebody who rolls up their sleeves and says, "How can I be useful here?" Childhood has not prepared them for what the working world will need them to do.
So I think that the very first question is kind of interesting, because yesterday, again, we talked about texting and how that's changed. You know, like when my kids were in school, they didn't text me to ask me questions, because it really wasn't in, I don't think that it really became in vogue until the last 5 years or so.
It's really become in vogue right now. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So when the question being asked here is how much does technology drive this, she answers it's not driving it. It's actually exacerbating the tendency to keep the parents and kids in constant touch. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of an interesting word, Lois, exacerbating. I think you checked it out.
Yes, it says increase the severity, violence, or bitterness of, or an example is a speech that will exacerbate tensions, maybe racial tensions.
So what does it mean, actually, in this context?
So the idea here is that technology isn't just moving it forward, it's actually making it worse and more severe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well put. That's
yeah.
exactly what it means.
Right.
So we see that according to our author, one of the most harmful elements of having the entire internet in our pocket, so that is on your smartphone, is that parents track kids' every movement. I don't think I want to know what my kids are doing.
It's very common now, you know, though. I talk
really?
To, you know, when you have family members that had children much later than yours, almost seem like a different generation. And you find out how they're raising their teenagers compared to how I raised my teenagers.
But these aren't teenagers. They're in college.
Yeah,
well, I mean, okay, think about when you were kids. Like, weren't you thinking about, like, what are my kids doing? You know, like, you probably didn't have the ability, though, back then to know
what they
were
doing. Yes, I did.
Right, so you were constantly, okay, what are they doing? Are they,
or
you
what,
know,
up, what are they up to, right?
You know, right?
What are
but
they
now,
up to, yeah.
They actually have the ability to do,
yeah.
to find
yeah.
out what they're up to.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not that far-fetched, Linda. It's not
no.
that far-fetched.
And you know what?
And I think if you were in that generation...
Yeah, and when you have teenagers maybe 15, 16, and 17, you're like, yeah, I don't want them to do anything really stupid, so I'm going to be in contact with them a lot.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, back then, you know, your kids should be home by 10, they're not home by 11:30. You were like, what are they doing, you know?
Yeah.
I would be doing more than what are they doing. But, you know, look at this. It says the tendency between the parent and the child to be in constant touch. So this is a lot more than what are they doing.
Right.
This is like, I can't cope without my mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the parent being, I can't cope without my child.
Right.
Yes.
So this is creating a
mm-hmm.
codependence here.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it anyway.
Yes.
Okay, so we see how were men made in the past. And the question is the Depression, okay, mm-hmm. so that was the 1930s they're talking about, and a world war made boys in the last century into men. So how do we instill responsibility without disaster?
Hmm.
First of all, we have this verb instill, okay, and what does that mean, Campbell?
Well, when you instill something, it means you put a feeling, an idea, or principle into someone's mind so that it has a strong influence on the way they think or behave.
So we're trying to put into their mind some responsibility.
Right. And the fact that my grandfather was a farmer, I would think a good way to instill responsibility into children nowadays is to send them to a farm for 8 weeks of the summer.
I don't
and
think
you
that,
know
that
what? Possible. It would work.
Well, I mean,
I can give addresses of farms in Canada if
yeah.
you'd like.
Yeah, well, I had to join the military here in you know, we're in Asia, and actually that... When I was there, I was like, you know, if I have a son one day, I think I would appreciate them being sent to the military just for a short time, you know, and that discipline.
Well, they often say when economy's bad and young men can't get work, or nowadays young women can't get work, maybe military service or military training for a year to 2 years is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also say that's also true about schools, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your kids in schools to keep them out of the working world, out of the work world.
Okay.
But that's totally beside the point here. Here, they were in a war.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And they had life and death decisions to make.
Right.
And they also had to grow up during a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've talked to your parents who grew up during this period of time, it's pretty grim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
right.
So, and they, but they learned how to cope.
Yeah.
And they learned how to live.
Yeah. And there is something about hardship that makes you grow and makes
mm-hmm.
you stronger.
Mm-hmm. There really is.
So here we see that the author here, Julie Lithcott-Hames, answers, and this is very true. Parents are often so concerned about the academic performance that we absolve kids of things like the dishes, doing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're absolved of doing something, it yeah. means you don't have to do them.
Right.
without feeling guilty.
You're pardoned.
Yeah. I remember my husband pardoning the kids from doing dishes at times because they had homework and he would do them. I was more like, really? I should do them because I don't want to do them.
Might be good for you.
But it is true, because we notice again that what it's talking about, they are concerned about the academics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we put such a heavy stress on them that the kids, they don't know how to do anything but study.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it says here they end up not knowing how to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the result of this, Campbell?
Well, this undercuts their ability to be the kind of worker a boss wants. So basically it undermines, it kind of takes away that ability of being able to work hard and being able to put in that effort.
I like when they say somebody who rolls up their sleeves and says, how can I be useful here? To me, this is, you know, somebody who can get down and get dirty. In other words, they can really do the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be told about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They know, and they just take charge and do it.
Right.
And, you know, I always notice in my own home, we'll have guests that are like this, roll up their sleeve, get involved and help out, and
mm-hmm.
you never have to say a word.
Right.
But then we'll have other guests that we'd like to do the old-fashioned thing of, you know, unrolling the bed knobs at the top of your bed to tell them, you know, it's time for you to leave because you don't help at all, and you're making my work very hard. But here, it's teaching us, these are great things for your kids to know.
Right.
They have to know, I need to help out. I need to be a good employee.
Right.
And if you're a good worker in your own home, you'll be able to transfer this to your job.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a friend of mine, actually several friends who are, you know, college students now. And sometimes I just want to smack them. I'm just like, and they're like, oh, I hate this class. It's so hard. And I'm just like, get over it. You know, life is hard. You're going to have to, if you're going to avoid all these hard things, you're never going to succeed. So deal with it.
Right. But notice, again, it's a class. It's not even work,
mm-hmm.
you know. And also, I think as a person, you know, I've been on like the, at least advising whether to hire people.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell immediately,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're, what kind of person that you're interviewing,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they're used to rolling up their sleeves. This is an idiom, by the way, that just means to get ready to work, okay? And I think it comes from the work days of like wearing long sleeve shirts,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you don't want to get them dirty. So, yeah, how can I be useful here? What can I do? And a lot of people don't have that attitude.
Right. I like how this last sentence ends, Linda, when it said, childhood has not prepared them for what the working world will need to do or need from you, I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as a parent, you should really take this to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's continue on our reading now. We're going to read the rest of this column and halfway down the second column to the end of the article.
What will the consequences be?
We need this generation to take the mantle of leadership. It's an open question whether they will have the will and the skill to do it. I don't blame millennials one bit. This is how they were raised.
Can parents create a controlled environment to help kids fail and learn from it?
You don't structure a controlled environment for failure. You back off. When children experience a setback, that's not your problem to solve. The best way for a kid to learn is to have that uncomfortable feeling, to experience consequences.
What are the most important threads to start pulling out of this tightly woven fabric?
Our job as parents is to put ourselves out of a job, period. We're not meant to parent them for the duration of their lives or ours. Our job is to ensure they have the skills and the confidence to fend for themselves. We will always love them, but the most loving thing is to prepare them for adulthood rather than pretend that we will always be there to resolve things for them.
Well, we see that we've been talking about kids and not knowing how to take responsibility. And, you know, I hate to say it, guys, but it goes to the parents, because it says the parents are the ones that are absolving the kids of their responsibility. Mm-hmm. So what kid is going to say, oh, no, no, let me do the dishes? Not one that I know. So, you know, really it's up to the parents, I think, to start early. Campbell, do you give your kids chores?
Well, we try to make them clean up their toys. You know, we always say if you want to play with something else, you have to clean this up first.
Oh, and that's good.
We always... And
you say that?
We actually take their hand and actually make them do it. But, you know, it's always met with a lot of resistance, and a lot of times there's tantrums. But we really feel that that's important.
Yes, good. I agree with you. You know, you can start teaching your child to do something at any age. And Campbell has young children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that that's a very, they're very capable of doing that. It's not like you're asking them to vacuum, you know, and dust.
Right.
And wash the china.
Right.
You know, so I think I've read some books along the way that says, you know, is you should give them responsibility according to their age.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, like for just the other day, my 1-year-old, she spilled something. And I made her wipe it up. You know, I took her by the hand and had her wipe it up. But I was like, you made this mess. You got to clean it up.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay. So we see that if this doesn't happen, this is a good, the end of our last reading said, childhood has not prepared these kids for what the working world will need from them. And the question is, what will the consequences be?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is quite interesting. That we need this generation, okay? And this generation they're talking about is the millennials.
Right. Mm-hmm. The millennials are a term that refers to someone who was born from the early 1980s to the early 2000s.
Okay. So that's quite a broad range.
That's both my kids, because one was born in 87 and one was born in 1990. So.
And that's both of my kids as well.
I just missed that. I was born in
1979. Okay, you just missed it.
Oh, my goodness, you're making me feel really old. That's the year I graduated high school. So now I feel ancient.
So it's not their fault. It's an open question whether they will have the will and the skill to take the mantle of leadership.
Right.
This is kind of an interesting phrase. We don't hear it that often, but what does this mean?
Well, do they want to? Would they be willing to even become leaders? And then, if they are willing, do they have the ability to do it?
Okay, and what is the mantle?
Well, I always think of a fireplace with the mantle.
Well, I think this goes back to the old days when someone with a position of authority had this kind of a cloak or a mantle, right? And when they were willing to pass that job on to someone, they would pass that mantle on
right.
to someone.
Now we might say more pass the baton.
Okay.
Because we think of relays and running and the Olympics and special games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so but if we look upon it as a cloak, okay, like the mantle of leadership, then, you know, I think of a baton as sharing, but a mantle is not so much sharing because only one person can wear it at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is true one person carries a baton at a time as well, but you can really tell who's in charge there. You're sharing it. But I also think it's interesting that the author says that she doesn't blame the millennials because they were raised this way, which comes back to we are at fault.
Except it's interesting how you can have maybe raising millennials and you have maybe 4 in your home and 3, you know, are ones that can do the positives that are in this article.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have one that doesn't, but you raised all 4 of them pretty much the same.
There's always that one.
Yeah. Exactly. There's always that one.
So I think we want to be careful. I mean, it's not all millennials.
Exactly.
We don't want to make a generalization. But, you know, there are, but the millennials in general, though, have this kind of tendency.
Right. Well, that's what the author is saying. Can parents, I think this is a really interesting question, can parents create a controlled environment to help their kids fail and learn from it?
Mm.
Do you think we should be doing that?
Oh, it's a good question. Maybe we should. Maybe if we think things haven't gone well with maybe, you know, maybe we have several children to raise So if you have several children to raise and you've seen that maybe you've kind of messed up with number one or two, maybe this would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the author, it's not a good idea.
Okay.
Right. Her idea, I mean, the whole thing is don't even try to make anything. Just back off, right? Just leave it alone, you know?
You know, don't we as parents have a tendency to want to fix things?
Yes. Mm,
definitely.
So we don't want our kids to fail.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so if I was going to set up a structured environment or structure a controlled environment for failure, we all know as parents that we would make it very little.
Right. Mm,
yes.
There would be very few consequences. It would be like you would probably barely even notice
it. So it wouldn't be much of a test.
Right.
I think that this word control is basically the core to this whole thing. Everybody wants control. You want to know where your kids are.
Yeah.
You want to know what they're doing. You want to make sure they don't mess up. So you're trying to control everything, and you're trying to, you know, make sure everything is fits into a box, which it doesn't. Life doesn't work like that.
Right. And, you know, when we read this, you back off. It's interesting how some parents definitely have to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know for my own self and my husband, it's the opposite sex. He has to back off when it comes to our daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I have to back off when it comes to our son.
Right.
So it's interesting. That's how it's worked for us.
Right.
And personally, I actually, when I read this, I said, I actually remind myself all the time, back off, Lois, back off, you know.
Yeah. Okay, and that means stop getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that this is important for us all as parents to remember is that when your children experience a setback, it's not your problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, but otherwise, if they don't learn to solve it or to live with it or to deal with it, you know, they're never going to.
Right. And it's an important skill to learn how to problem solve. It kind of reminds me of an article I think that the three of us were talking about last month about children and their siblings, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Letting them figure out how to solve the conflict.
Yeah. Right.
Quit interfering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I also think, I've been reading another book that's very interesting, and it's a little bit off the subject, but it's about failure and what is failure and how we view it.
Mm-hmm.
And we should view failure as learning.
Yes.
Because it's not really failure.
Mm-hmm.
And people that learn how to do this, that learn how to, oh, okay, so this doesn't work or that didn't work, but I'm going to go on and do this,
mm-hmm.
are much more successful than if you fail at something and that's it. You never try again.
Right.
Because, and as a parent, if we swoop in and solve it, then they won't have the opportunity to even go on.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know so many people who are afraid to fail that they won't even try.
Right.
You know, they're waiting till they can do it perfect, but the problem is you're never going to get to that point.
And that goes back to what we were talking about yesterday when our child does anything and we say, oh, that's wonderful, that's perfect, that's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always told my kids, just do the best you can do. That's it. That's all we should be expecting from our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think this is a very good sentence, the last one, her answer here. The best way for a kid to learn is to have that uncomfortable feeling to experience consequences of something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because if you always go to your parents, you know, are like, that's okay. Let me do this. You know, they're never going to learn what it means.
Right. I think that's the hardest thing as a parent is to just sit there and not do anything, you know, and to see your kids struggling, but to just be like, okay, let them figure it out. Let them do it.
At least let them try.
Yes. Yeah.
Let them deal with the hurt of a bad job interview. Let them deal with that.
Right.
You know, with having young adults, you'll have to go through that.
Okay, let's look at our last question here. It says, what are the most important threads to start pulling out of this tightly woven fabric? This is a very interesting way of phrasing a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the question really means is, as parents, okay, we are woven together, you know, if you look at a piece of fabric or material so tightly with our kids, what threads, individual threads, can we start taking out of that so we can make it looser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And what does it say, Campbell?
I like the description that she uses. She says, our job as parents is to put ourselves out of a job, period.
Yep.
And when you put yourself out of a job, it means that you've trained someone so well that they can take your place and you don't have to do it anymore.
I think, you know, as a parent of an adult, two very well-functioning children, you know, it's always kind of amazing for me to look at them and see them function so well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and make decisions and, you know, because their jobs yeah. require them to make decisions that affect other people's
yeah.
lives.
That's right.
And to see what goes into their decisions, it's pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
But the first time I was like, whoa. You've really grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I live with my in-laws, and sometimes it's interesting because, you know, they'll say things like, well, you know, we do all these things for you. What would you do if we weren't here? And in my mind, I'm like, we would take care of it. We're adults. We can handle it. You
yeah.
know? But for them, they feel like we're kids.
Exactly. You know, for myself, who has I have both my children married, sometimes it's hard as in that role now to see my children married, to actually back off and not go, oh, I want to make your marriage go a lot smoother because I have all the examples to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just realizing, no, they're both doing actually very well in their marriages, and just let them learn the things they have to learn.
Right. So our job is to ensure that they have the skills they need and the confidence to fend for themselves, which sounds like we've given our children. We can just pat ourselves on the back here. And, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't love them, but, you know, as a loving parent, it's our job to prepare them for adulthood, not that we're always going to be there to save them and keep them out of rough experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are out of time, so we thank you for joining us for our parenting article, and we invite you to give us some feedback on the article, and you can do that on our Facebook page or write to us at letters.com and let us know what you think of it. And we hope you'll join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.